Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, joining us now, the Bear Bryant Coach of the Year, Luke Fickell, live from the American Heart Association Champions Lunch at King Ranch, Texas Kitchen. Coach Landry Locker, John Lopez with you. We appreciate you for joining us, sir. Welcome to Houston.
Well, I appreciate it. I got a little taste of it, but none of the traffic that you guys were asking me about, so I think it looks like it was nice, smooth sailing.
You caught us on a good day.
Got 65 or 66 degrees and sunny here. I don't think you can
You caught us on a good day there, too, and I know you know that.
Yeah, I do.
Coach, it's kind of crazy. So before we even knew you were going to be on, we had Nick Caserio on this week on the radio station on Monday, and unsolicited, he was talking about talent evaluation, et cetera, and he brought you up. This is what Nick Caserio said earlier this week. And I just want to ask you about this and the job you've done at Cincinnati. This was Nick Caserio with Payne and Pendergast Monday morning on Sports Radio 610.
Everybody thinks, well, he's a five-star recruit. He's a highly recruited player. He's automatically going to be a good pro. That's not the case. Like, let's look at the University of Cincinnati and the program that Luke Fickell has built and how many five-star recruits they actually had on campus. I mean, I haven't done the research, but my sense is it's going to be fairly low. What they've done is they've developed players from the time they step on a campus until they left. And you look, they were a very senior-laden team this year, and they had, I forget the actual number, but it was 8 to 10 players that were drafted. Mm-hmm. I don't know the exact number, but from Desmond Ridder to Alec Pierce, to Jerome Ford, to Majay Sanders, to Byron Cook. Obviously, everybody wants to talk about Sauce, but there was a number of other players on that team that made it a really good team.
Now, you know the exact number. Nick did.
It was 9. We'll go up to 10. I get a little better as you get beyond.
Especially
it.
When you're recruiting.
That's right. That's right.
How has it been for you? Because if you look at like how long you've been there, this is like the perfect build, like to where you started, to where you are here, and how good the squad was. Just what has it been like for you? And obviously you got rewarded for it with the Bear Bryant Coach of the Year. What's it been like for you? Like when you first got to Cincinnati to now to where GMs who have multiple first round picks are basically listing your roster unsolicited.
Well, I think it's obviously a little bit flattering, but I think he said something about five stars, and I'm not sure we had a five star on campus. I'm not sure. In the 5 years, maybe they did walk through because there are Cincinnati's a big city, and I think there's some great high school
they drove
football.
By.
They maybe drove through and gave us a wave, or maybe played a high school game there. But I think more than anything, football is a game of development anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why guys can 3 years in college before there's any chance of them going to the NFL. It's legit. It's real because it's very hard telling guys come out of high school. And so for us being there going into year six, so we've been there five, this class was our first really probably full 4 to 5 years with guys in a class. And I've been very fortunate that we've had some transition with coaches, but by nature, the core of our program hasn't changed from year one when we were really, really bad. As we manufactured and learned different ways to win. But what happened was our offense hasn't really changed. It's evolved. Our defense hasn't changed. It's evolved. Our strength program has done nothing but continue to grow with the same words, the same verbiage, the same, you know, everything, expectations on a daily basis, which, in my opinion, has allowed us to get the most out of our kids. And when people say development, it's really hard to develop.
Yeah.
To me, these kids, 18 to 22 years, I'm not saying they're kids, but when they go through a lot of different transitions, and so for us to be able to keep our strength program, our offense, and our defense, that's not just me. That's the ability for all those things. I would say that our kids have played above their God-given abilities because they've developed, they've trusted, and They've shown.
The entire offseason after the leading up to the draft, we were talking, us specifically, a lot about Ahmad Gardner and Derek Stingley. I want to ask you about that, but before I ask you about that, I came across something really cool last night, you know, knowing that you were going to be on the show. You didn't call him Sauce. You did not call him Sauce until he was drafted.
So I actually went out there on the Thursday night, and for the first time they called his name, and after he, you know, hugged his family and stuff as he was getting ready to go, and he came up to me and I said, "Congratulations, Sauce." So that was the absolute
first time.
He said something about, I think his freshman year, he said, "Hey, coach, they call me Sauce." I'm like, "You know what? Someday if you ever get drafted, I'll call you that, but until then, you're Ahmad to me."
This had to be a big moment for you and him. I mean, I'm sure he just lit up. What was that like once you actually did kind of lay the sauce on it?
He had a big smile on his face, and it was a little harder for me than I expected. Like, I'd already played it through in my head. Like, can I really call him this? Like, seriously? But I said I would do it, so I'm going to do it. And even today when people mention him, I'm like, "Oh, yeah, Ahmad. Okay, I said I would call him Sauce now." So he's Sauce to me, but an unbelievable job, and you know, obviously one of those guys that everybody is now going to recognize from your program. But he was only a 3-year kid.
Yeah, and a big time player, and we were fans, and we kept arguing back and forth, you know, pros and cons. Were you surprised that he didn't go 3?
You know what? I probably had little to any expectation. I tried not to. Because you never really know, and sometimes you think you know some of these people, and maybe somebody called you a little bit more, and you don't know. And for really, to be honest with you, for us in the program, I was just hoping you'd go before 5, because our highest draft pick ever is Greg Cook in like 69 that we went number 5, and I'm like, God. I just want Sauce to go.
Look at this! It's flowing off your tongue now.
I shake. I twitch a little bit when I say it, but you know. So whether he's 3 or 4, whether surprised or not, I know this. I think he's going to be a much better pro than he was a college football player.
Talking to Cincinnati coach Luke Fickell at the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Lunch. We'll get into the legacy of Bear Bryant and the legacy you're trying to build shortly. But Nick Caserio is an Ohio guy. We've gotten to know him a little bit. You're an Ohio guy as well. What the heck is an Ohio guy? Because we know what a Texas guy is. What is an Ohio guy?
A guy that probably hasn't left home a whole lot, I guess you'd say. At least for me. Grew up in Columbus and went to Ohio State and ended up being a G, left there for maybe 2 years trying to play, and then came back as a GA and got fortunate enough to stay in Ohio as a coach at the University of Cincinnati. And I'd say an Ohio guy understands the culture, the nature. I mean, football is really big. I know it's huge. High school football in Texas is phenomenal and huge. I know that from recruiting, and I know that from, you know, watching from afar. But I think in some ways, Ohio people say the same thing, that
sure,
high school football in the state of Ohio is huge, and it's really, really, really important. And so I think when you kind of embrace yourself and you kind of say you're an Ohio guy, that it tells you how much you appreciate what high school football does for the young kids of our community.
Now, are you a Skyline Chili guy, though? Like, is that a thing? That's a very polarizing topic.
Well, you know, I'm not in Cincinnati, so I don't have to be the politically correct for it.
For the record, I've said, what's the big deal?
I'm a Skyline guy, but I don't eat there very often.
All right, I hate to sideswipe our guest with something that's completely out of the blue, but last week, Nick Saban and Jimbo Fisher had a little thing that you may or may not have heard about. It was everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't want to like put you on the spot, what side do you, but what are your takeaways from that? Like what, to me, and this is just my opinion, and I'm just kind of leading you into your response. To me, there's always been like a code among head coaches in college football. You don't, if you lose a recruiting battle, just move on. You don't talk about they did this or they do that or whatever. And so that's where I landed on it. They kind of like, did he break a code or was this legit? What are your takeaways?
I guess I'm a little bit younger than those guys. I don't know that the code, I guess I wasn't handed down the book and all.
But you're familiar.
I say I live under a rock, so I don't watch those things. I don't live under a complete rock. I do understand. I did see it's quite polarizing, and I think that's the unique thing right now, that obviously they've been ordered a gag order of some sort, so they can't talk about it, whatever. I don't have any clue. If Coach Saban wants to say something, anybody's going to give him a gag order. But my opinion is I don't know that it was meant to be as maybe
firestorm.
Yeah, I don't. I just I, I'm I don't know Coach Saban, but I know he's pretty intelligent and he is very wise at what he's saying. And I think it was, you know, blown a little bit up. And then, to be honest with you, to see how it reacted on the other side, I wasn't as impressed to say, like, you know, we all can get frustrated and mad. And I punched plenty of holes in the wall and went to the weight room and done what I needed to do and punched a punching bag. And then I would go out there and smile and, you know, make sure I say the things that in the right way. But I don't know. It's become very polarizing. I think it's hopefully in this whole feud, the way I look at it is try to find the positive in it. In this whole feud that we're college in general is going to recognize that there's a little bit of an issue and we need to get a grasp on it. So whatever we're going to do, whichever route we're going to go, I think with two of the biggest names in college football, it's going to show that we've got to get a grasp on this before. I mean, we expect our 18 to 22 year olds to handle this thing in the right way. And the two greatest ones in our profession maybe are having a really tough time with it. So whether we need help with it or not, we got to get a grasp on what's going on.
Talking to Luke Fickell with the American Heart Association's Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Lunch. Can a school like Cincinnati benefit from NIL? Because we were talking about this the other day. Like, it seems like we just focus on like the bad of NIL and, you know, this guy gets $4 million to go from Pittsburgh to USC. But with the transfer portal as well, like if you just look at USC and Pittsburgh, Slovis went from USC to Pitt, and he's getting a chance to start with a little less pressure. Like, can a school like Cincinnati almost, like, take advantage of this situation too?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of positives for the kids. I think that's what's getting, you know, overblown and not recognized. But, you know, it gives them some opportunities to do some different things. Hopefully, we all kind of envisioned it in the way that it happened for us last year with a guy like Desmond Ridder and Ahmad Sauce Gardner, that, you know, they perform really well. They have some other opportunities, which is going to lead them and give them, you know, obviously some value, but also can be distracting. That's what I try to remind them of. Hey, don't get distracted by these peanuts. You know, $100,000, not peanuts.
Well,
but,
yes.
But peanuts compared to a $25, $30 million contract that they may sign. And so I think it is. I mean, for us in general, being in a larger city and a community where they can really embrace our kids and give them some opportunities. But I think more than anything, the biggest thing for me in NIL is everybody's different. The way we handle it at Cincinnati is going to be different than Ohio State, which is 140 miles from us.
And you were there for a while, too, as a coach.
16 years.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be different than how Texas A&M or Alabama is going to handle it. But not to say who's right or who's wrong or what's best, but what's best for your program and for us, what's best for our locker room is most important to me.
I was fascinated by the whole quarterback discussion going into the draft this year. We talked about that a lot as well. Well, this class is not as good as next year's class is going to be. You're sitting there with Desmond Ridder, you know, and he's a name that we've talked about a lot. Were you offended in the right word? Were you amused by the fact that all of a sudden there comes this narrative and it actually seemingly affected where he was taken?
Yeah. I'm curious. I haven't. So one of my best friends and college roommate coach down here, Mike Vrabel, is the head coach of the Titans.
We know him.
You might know him a little bit. And you know, they kind of were in the market for a quarterback. So after he didn't go the first day, I had.
Do you call him and say, what the hell were you doing?
I actually reached out. I didn't want to call because, I mean, I said, hey, what's the deal? You guys, hey, we're in the market for one, you know, this next round or so. And I'm like, okay. So I haven't had a chance to sit down with him, but I know there was some little jockeying between who's the next guy to go with, you know, Malik Willis and Desmond Ridder, and it just kept kind of getting pushed back, and I'm really kind of curious to sit down with him when I can here to say, okay, what is it? Is it really a ranking? Is it really
right?
Did you really say, okay, this all the way back to whether it's Peyton Manning or whoever was the highest rated quarterback ever, you know? He was a 98, so then these guys were only 88. So is it really that detailed, or is it a little bit more of a feel, or what's the market going to allow? So I don't know. I know this, that I think he'll be a better pro too. I think he is a winner, but I don't. I'm my own best friend. I didn't push him to say, "Holy cow, you got to take this guy right now," because I don't know what exactly they're looking for. I know this, that if I was going to a game in college, I've been around a lot of quarterbacks. I don't know that I would take anybody any different if we had to go win one game.
Okay. Luke Fickell with us. Has Vrabel changed at all?
No.
Not
from our perspective.
From 18 years old, I was his host.
Yeah.
So I hosted him because he's a year younger than me. I hosted him when he was 17 or 18, and he took my ID and went home with it. But we won't talk about that. I don't know that he's changed a whole lot.
He seems like he hasn't.
He has grown a little bit, meaning like size-wise. I'm not sure what he's weighing right now.
He's a little heavy right now.
I'm going to ask him that when I go see him too. But his personality, what he does, how he does, he hasn't changed a whole lot.
We had him. It was a bad year for the defense as a whole. There were a lot of injuries, but I think we were the worst defense in the league as 1 year as defensive coordinator. But we were like he's going to be a head coach.
Yeah,
like,
I kept saying
a head coach
on the air when he was and people were criticizing the defense. I said I think Mike Vrabel is going to be a better head coach than a coordinator, just a leader of men type.
So. I got the job. The whole thing happened at Ohio State, and he was going into his – he was already in 14 years. He was in the NFL. He was doing the collective bargaining thing, and literally he called me and said, hey, give me a reason to retire. And I knew he was about done and stuff. So we actually – that was his first – we hired him back to with us when I was kind of the interim head coach. And obviously it went from there. And when he came down here, I came down like maybe a second mini camp or something. I just stood back and watched for a day and a half. And literally, we came off the field. We're talking. I said, "You're in the right place. You want to be, and this is what you want to do. You'll be a head coach in the next 5-6 years in this league. I can see it. I see how the guys gravitate to you. I can see the things that you can do and what you can say, different than maybe even other coaches from watching these guys. And I think you're in the right place.
The Bear Bryant Awards. It's always a special event in town. Obviously, the game has changed a lot, and you can't do what like you know the Bear Bryants or the Woody Hayes used to do. But as far as just like
Why
the
not?
Foundation,
that's a challenge.
Something called the internet. But as far as just like the foundation of what like the OG coaches have laid out, like what ethics and mindsets do you take from guys like Paul Bear Bryant that you build your program with?
So I'm a guy that grew up in the North, so I didn't know nearly as much about coach. I didn't, you know, I grew up in the Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler of the North. So as I've obviously studied and got more into it, I've learned a lot, studied a lot. I spent actually about a half hour, 45 minutes last night with Gene Stallings.
Okay. And oh, wow.
For me, you know, was a guy that beat me when I was in college in 1994. We got beat by them in Alabama in the Citrus Bowl when – Mike Vrabel got beat on an angle route by Sherman Williams, but we won't talk about that.
I can tell you're a really
still,
good friend.
Still remember it today. But anyways, and got to spend 45 minutes just talking with Gene Stallings from the Junction Boys to you know how Coach ran things and how tough and hard nosed he was, but how things haven't changed; they just evolved. Yeah. And we still want the same core values. We still want that same mentality that you know the Junction Boy idea that this is a tough game. But yet we've got to continue to evolve to recognize, you know, the different things we have to deal with, whether it's the internet, but it's safety and health that are a bit different because guys are bigger, faster, stronger, and there's more collisions. But just to understand that my values that I learned are no different than what, you know, Coach Stallings talked about with Coach Bear Bryant. And, you know, from afar, you don't know those things. You just see the hat and you just see the successes and the wins. But it was great last night to be able to spend 45 minutes here, and not just about Gene Stallings, but about how he grew up with Bear Bryant and all the things of what football has taught and meant to him.
Well, congratulations, man. It's a great award, and it's very meaningful in this city as well.
Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad. I missed actually coming down here in January when they had the actual event, and I'm kind of ashamed that I didn't have I had the opportunity, but I didn't wasn't able to make it with everything that was going on. Crazy six kids and all this different stuff at home, but
six. Man.
I know that
you got Brady Bunch.
I know that this is a really.
What's
a
the
big
split
deal.
Of the six? Is it a boy, girl? What's the
five boys and one girl?
Okay, so, there you go. So you lived baby. Right. You lived right. All my friends only have girls because we didn't live right. So
see,
that's a man of character right there.
That's right.
Two sets of identical twin boys. So I'm not sure that was all right.
There you go.
Tell my wife that now. But anyways.
You got your secondary covered.
Well, have you seen us? We don't run real well, so the secondary
You've
is not
slimmed down. I remember you, DT, man.
You go one or the other, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's a great opportunity, and I'm glad I'm able to be here.
Coach, we appreciate you very much. We
tell Sauce hello for us.
Yeah, tell Sauce, hey.
I will definitely. He's back. Anytime he's not in New York, he's back in our weight room working out and loving what he does.
There you go. Coach Luke Fickell here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610 at the American Heart Association's Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Lunch. Coming up, a no-show at Texans, quote, voluntary activities. Did Lovie Smith indirectly send a message to the two people who didn't show up yesterday. Next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Live from the American Heart Association Paul Bear Bryant Awards Champions Luncheon. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
I always like talking to college football coaches, successful ones, whether it's a Saban, a Luke Fickell like we just spoke to, whether it's even like a hothead like a Tom Herman. I'm just always intrigued by, first of all, the difficulty of the job, the different logistics and economics that go into it, like as far as where you're coaching and the resources you have. And I also like to like think ahead and say this guy's going to end up here or this guy's going to be there. Like when you interview Tom Herman at Houston, you figure, you know, where's his yeah. big opportunity going to come? And you're kind of in the presence of greatness with like a Nick Saban or something like that. I don't know where Luke Fickell's going to end his coaching career, but he's going to be able to pick a pretty good situation. That's a very impressive head coach.
Off the charts. Ryan Day is at Ohio State and entrenched and winning like crazy. So it just may be somewhere else. It may be Cincinnati in today's world. You brought up the question of the NIL and how it benefits Cincinnati. I think, you know, we don't know how it's going to benefit. Maybe that's going to be, you know, the next program that was sort of just a notch below that reaches that next level. I'm just impressed by a couple things that were apropos of nothing. He was great on Sauce Gardner. He told a great story about that. Great on the quarterback situation. All these other things. You can listen to him on the Odyssey app if you want to go back and hear that. But I like a guy that doesn't wear socks with dress shoes and wasn't all in on Skyline Chili.
Yeah,
he wasn't all in on Skyline Chili.
He was honest about that.
Yeah.
He was very honest about that. Lovie Smith yesterday at voluntary workouts was asked about the absence of Malik Collins and Laremy Tunsil. Here's what Lovie had to say about those two guys not being there. And did he indirectly send a message or kind of tip his hand into how he felt about a couple of guys not being there?
I mean, I kind of, you know, a big saying, the voluntary is voluntary. You can show up if you like. You don't have to. I kind of go on that in the end. Yeah, I'd like for guys to be up here all day, you know, staying with the coaches, put in as many hours as we like. But
they have some options, and rules are in place. We follow the rules, and it's no more than that. Every player that's not here right now, I've communicated it with them, and I'm okay with that. Eventually, we'll have everybody here. There's one thing that's mandatory in all season, and I expect everyone would be there unless, you know, we've come to an agreement and have something that I want them. That's how, you know, no one was satisfied with what happened last year. How do you get better? Come to work. Every time you have an opportunity to get better, you show up, some more than others.
Translation, I don't like it, but those are the rules. And at the end there, the walk away was, you know, if you want to get better, you better come work here. But what's he going to do? I mean, I think it's a bad look for Laremy Tunsil more than anyone else.
Yeah, especially with the uncertainty, the fact that it's a new coach, the fact that we didn't really know what was going to happen with Laremy Tunsil. Laremy Tunsil not being here, there's a perception about Laremy Tunsil that, you know, Laremy Tunsil's just kind of his own guy. And I think Laremy Tunsil's a very smart dude. He's like, you saw what he did to Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby when it came to the negotiation, which I think probably you could do because Jack Easterby should never negotiate contracts. But Laremy's a smart business dude. Laremy's very business savvy. He's a smart guy. He's a good player, so he's going to be there. But if you are building a culture, and if all this stuff that we hear about mattering, if it truly does matter, then I would have anticipated that Laremy would have been here. I would have almost bet on it, but he's not. And I'm not saying Lovie Smith is like overly ticked off about it, but it just doesn't seem like something he would like to happen. And I also think there's kind of irony in it, in that, you know, all Bill O'Brien and preached was like tough, smart, dependable. And it just doesn't seem like Laremy Tunsil, the guy who he gave up the most for in a trade, it doesn't seem like, based on what we hear about what Bill O'Brien is about, that he's really that kind of guy.
No, he's not.
He's like a very smart business guy. I respect the hell out of where he does, but he just doesn't. Like, if you ask me what a B.O.B. guy was, Laremy Tunsil wouldn't be
a
B.O.B. guy.
Not that. I think not showing up hurts Laremy Tunsil in the locker room, among the coaches, and in the public's eye. And that's the last thing he needed. It may be no big deal. You know, the players are going to be like, all right, well, he'll show up and we're going to pick it right up. The coaches, like Lovie just said, we want you here. We think you get better when you're working here as much as you can, but you're not. We'll move past it. So it may be something, just a little speed bump. But you mentioned something earlier, like the perception of Laremy Tunsil, okay? If Laremy Tunsil thinks the perception is wrong, not doing it for show, you know, not showing up just for show, just to like, you know, I'll show you kind of thing. But if he thinks it's wrong, like I am not that guy. I legitimately, you know, didn't want to, couldn't fully come back the way I wanted to last year, and that's why I sat out the end of the season. Well, then show up now. You know, prove that the perception is wrong.
Really strange. Yeah. Coming up, a really weird story from Deshaun Watson's attorney during his media tour, a giddy Texans leader, in an update from Odorizzi, the miracle. The hits are lit next.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day.
You're listening to In the Loop
with Houston's sports leader,
Sports Radio 610.
Texans getting work in. Brandon Cooks, one of the leaders. He's there. Laremy Tunsil's not. Here's Brandon Cooks. I'm believing what's going on and getting that new contract.
I mean, it was huge, not just for my family and I, but, you know, believing in what, you know, this organization is trying to get done and what Nick and Coach Levy is building. So it's definitely a blessing. And, you know, I'm glad we can put that behind us and get back to work.
Before he answered that, Mark Berman made him introduce his son, spell his name, give his age, talk about what school he went to, his 40 time.
Well, I don't know about that part.
All that type of stuff. Mark Berman asking for the full scouting report of Maverick, Brandon Cook's son.
Maverick. Yeah, so Berman doing Berman things. I don't know why that was appropriate. If that was going to do a feature on him, on his him and his kid. He's just wired that way. It's like, I got to get the touchy-feely.
Spell it for me.
Yeah.
Can you spell it for me?
Something funny, something clever, something emotional.
Maverick, how do you feel about Lovie Smith?
Here's your favorite toy, Maverick.
More from Brandon Cooks. What was your favorite toy at two? Did you really have one?
I don't remember.
It just kind of changed at two.
Yeah.
It feels like you got like more attached to toys in like at five, maybe in like kindergarten, but at two, it just changed.
I remember my tricycle.
So at two?
No, I must have been four. I remember my first toy as a tricycle.
I never remember a tricycle. I remember a basketball goal at like three. Like the small one,
yeah.
The Nerf one,
yeah.
And then like the football uniform.
The first toy I remember, it's funny you say that. I just popped in my head. A little tricycle, had the little ribbons on the handlebar.
What's the most annoying toy for a parent? Like, oh, God.
Drums. Drum set. Drum set?
You gave your kid a drum set?
No, but we gave one to my nephew. When my nephew had, my nephew Chris, you know, we used to always have to babysit him and all that stuff. And so when he had a kid that was old enough, we gave him a drum set, and he said, thank you very much. I said, you're welcome.
Here's Brandon Cooks talking about Pep Hamilton. There's a follow-up here with our guy, Brandon Scott, who joins us every Thursday at 11 o'clock. This is B. Scott talking about the new offense, and you can hear Brandon Cooks say he is excited for the change.
Pep is special and you know, a great mind. You know, got a lot of trust in him, and just trying to help him be right. And, you know, we love going to work with him every day.
Is there a level of excitement just knowing that y'all will be doing something different as a unit?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, absolutely.
I can't wait to see what Pep Hamilton does.
I don't know what his offense
is. That's what I mean.
I don't know what it looks like. All I know is, and I don't know if this is almost default because we don't really have, like, I'm not saying that the guys who aren't saying it don't have access to more information, more knowledge about what he's about than I, but it does seem like people are acting like, and Scott, I won't say people, Scott Pioli said it, I know they said it on the Athletic Football podcast, and I think I've heard it on NBC Sports, where it's like, oh, Pep Hamilton is one of the more respected guys, and as a quarterback coach, I agree. But I think it would be disingenuous to act like we know what a Pep Hamilton offense looks like because it didn't look the same in the XFL. It looked different in Indianapolis. Mm-hmm. We don't know what a Pep Hamilton offense is, but we do know that he's respected. And we do know that it can't be worse than a Tim Kelly, Bill O'Brien offense. I think you can read between the lines
there. Well, that much we do know, but I just can't wait. And you really almost have to wait until week one of the regular season. We'll get some hints when we're at training camp. Of some of the things he likes to do, some of the things they try. Even fewer hints during preseason games, you know, because they keep things so simple and plain. It really won't be until you're like, okay, this is what he likes to do. This is the – now, I know they're going to run the ball. That's their stated goal. That's their stated strategy.
How?
But how successfully?
Yeah, how?
Yeah.
They said they wanted to run the ball last year. We'll actually get into some stats that show just how bad the run game was. We'll get into those tomorrow. But they insist they want to run the ball. My question is how. You improve the offensive line. That's step one. Did you improve the running back room? Yeah. These questions I got. I want to talk. Like, I can't wait till training camp in about 2 months when we get to talk to Burkhead. We get to talk to Marlon Mack. Hopefully we get to talk to Pierce. And I can just ask them, like, tell me why this running back room is good enough to able to run the ball.
I agree.
Let me know. Here's more from Brandon Cooks, a new teammate, a rookie, John Metchie by way of Alabama. He's not working out yet, but he's getting some work on the side. And Brandon Cooks likes what he sees from the rookie receiver.
I mean, that kid's special. You could just tell it. You know, when you talk with someone, you just get that feel about a guy. And, you know, the way that he goes about his business, obviously right now he's not going with us. But, you know, his focus and paying attention to the little details that he can pay attention to, I like him. And I can't wait to get to work with him for sure.
There you go. He says he's special. I will say this, that one of my favorite Brandon Cooks memories, and this is when he first got here. It was actually during COVID. So practice was really weird. You were like 36 feet away from each other. There was an X. I had to look across at Figgy to my left at 36 feet. But it was Isaiah Coulter, the brief stint of Isaiah Coulter. And there was a moment where Brandon Cooks was on the side after Isaiah Coulter kind of let a couple go through his hands. And he was legit teaching Isaiah Coulter, like, what he should do, putting his hand on his shoulder.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, like, when Isaiah ran his next rep, he would go up to him and, like, coach him. So it does seem like Brandon Cooks, like, as far as, like, mentoring guys, he is that type of dude. And you hear him talk about John Metchie. Maybe he takes him under his wing and he helps maximize him. But I thought that was one of the cooler moments that I've seen from Brandon Cooks, who, since he's been here, has been one of the best players during practice. But he's also a guy who seems like he authentically wants to mentor and wants to teach other guys.
Yeah, you said authentically. And I think that's what really stood out to me, is Brandon Cooks is invested in the Texans. Obviously, they're invested in him. But, I mean, he legitimately has bought in, and that's a huge first step. And he legitimately said some pretty impressive things about Metchie. I mean, it could be dead wrong, but as he said, you know, sometimes you do just know when you look at a guy and you talk to a guy.
It's interesting. Brandon Cooks out there. Laramie Tunsil not there. Malik Collins not there either. Deshaun Watson, he's not at camp. He's not a part of the Texans for the first time.
He's on the field today for the first time
in a half decade, but he is in Cleveland. He is on the field, and he was on TV yesterday on HBO Real Sports. In anticipation of that, Rusty Harden did kind of a media tour. He was on the Between the Lines podcast, then he was on our sister station, 92.3 The Fan. The 92.3 The Fan interview was basically just a summary of what he'd done on the Between the Lines podcast, not really any new information. But he finished it with one of the weirdest stories that I've heard in a long time. Figgy, can I get an RC before I hear this one? Because I don't know what the redneck woman had to do with it. But here's Rusty Harden concluding his media tour on 92.3 The Fan with a story that kind of, I don't want to say it made me cringe. I just thought it was pretty weird.
If you talk to the people that knew him there, the emails I get, I get all of these emails from women. One woman wrote me and said, I'm a 54-year-old white woman redneck. And I remember Deshaun Watson from the time he was in the fifth grade on safety patrol, escorting kids to their cars in the rain. I followed the guy all through high school. I followed that guy all the way through Clemson, and I followed him from afar. And he is a wonderful human being.
Well, if a 54-year-old redneck says so, it must be true. That was a weird one, but it also is very telling to what their strategy or lack of strategy is right now. It's like, guys, this HBO thing is happening. People are going to be talking about how believable they are, which they were. People are going to be talking about all the pressure for a suspension on Roger Goodell, which there is. We got to do something. We got to craft a narrative around Deshaun Watson that speaks to the other side. So let's talk about him in fifth grade being a patrol. I mean, just crazy.
It's just redneck bizarre. White woman? What are we talking about?
Must be true.
What?
Must be true.
What has that got to do with anything?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
No, really. Like,
nothing.
It's not like it's like white women accusing him of this.
Right.
Like yesterday it was Ashley Solis and it was an African-American woman. Like, I don't understand what he was talking about.
He said he's a wonderful human being. And which is, you know, in itself, okay, you followed a kid that you like from fifth grade all the way through Clemson. What do you know?
What does it
take? What do you really know?
Like, honestly, like, you I'm intrigued by this, and I'm intrigued by,
like,
this whole dynamic.
What could she possibly know?
But I want to ask you, because you've covered a lot of athletes, and you've gotten closer access to than most fans. And the one thing that I'm not going to cut for an athlete that I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'll say what he does, but then when something happens, it's not this time I'm going to put my hands up, but I'm not going to, like, pound the table. And there is a certain portion of people that have never met Deshaun Watson, don't know Deshaun Watson, don't know anything about Deshaun Watson. And I liked every interaction I've had with him. It's been great. Like, Deshaun Watson's been a good dude. And again, I would have made the trade if I were the Cleveland Browns with everything I know and with everything we've said, et cetera. So I always like to make that clear. But, like, what would it take for you? like to cut for somebody, even like with how close you were to guys or how close, as close as you could be in the clubhouse. Like you covered the Astros. Like I won't throw names out there, but guys that you like what
I will, because two names immediately come to mind. And I can tell you, and I can tell Rusty and Leah Graham and whomever else, there are two guys that immediately came to mind.
Okay.
The first one is in the Wayback Machine.
Okay.
It's when I was covering the NBA for, covering the NBA in 1989, and I was covering the San Antonio Spurs. And I told you a little bit of the story
Vinny yesterday. Vinny Del Negro.
Yesterday off air. So, Alvin Robertson.
Okay.
I would have bet every dollar I had that he would never get into any kind of trouble.
Okay.
Like, I would go on like, we'd be on a road trip, and I would go with Alvin Robertson to, like, a casino nearby or whatever. Atlantic City was the one that came to mind. We were in Philadelphia for a trip. Alvin, I was since I was the beat writer, I had a rent car. They were on the bus. So Alvin said, "Hey, Lopez, man, I want to go to Atlantic City. Would you mind driving?" I said, "I want to go. Let's go." So David Robinson went as well, as did Sean Elliott and Alvin Robertson. And I got really tight with Alvin Robertson. And to the point of, like he, on road trips, he was, like sitting next to me, not with the player.
So what happened to Alvin? What did he do?
It was abuse.
Okay.
It was a spousal abuse, I believe, and bad.
Okay.
Like bad stuff. Yeah. I would have bet anything.
Yeah.
Anything. That was not going to happen. So I'm not the redneck woman who followed him from afar. I knew Alvin really, really well.
Yeah.
And I was floored when I saw these. I think it was alleged sexual assault, abuse. I may be speaking out of turn, but it was in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
The other one is Ken Caminiti.
Yeah.
Ken Caminiti, he was my go-to guy with those Astros teams. And I remember one time he called me over to his locker in the clubhouse. And he goes, "Man, why did you write that about me yesterday?" Because he was having some struggles defensively, shoulder stuff and all that. He goes, "My mom
read..." Damn, he had a hose, though.
Oh. He goes, man, my mom read that. I guess she was living in San Francisco. And she was like, "Does this guy, have it in for you?" He goes, "No, Mom, I'm really having trouble, and I like John, but I'm sorry you had to read that." And so to the point of a lot of athletes would say, "Hey, jerk. My mom read
that." Worse than that, sir.
Yeah, and he was really understanding. I knew Kemet Caminiti really well. So what I'm saying is when Rusty Harden speaks to this lady that knew a football player and a kid from afar, what does she know? She knows nothing. I knew these guys and was still sideswiped.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't. It was weird. There were a lot of weird things we'll get into over the course of the show. I'll ask Stanford Brout what he thinks about it at 12:45. Playing the hits here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. 100 days from now, the start of the college football season. I got four storylines that intrigue me the most.
I'm here for
when it comes to the great sport of college football. First of all, we have QB battles at UT and Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm. Good ones.
QB battles, very, very intriguing QB battles. That it doesn't get more exciting than a good QB battle. And the two marquee programs in the state, for lack of a better term, sorry U of H, sorry TCU, sorry whatever. Two QB battles right there.
I think your guy's going to win it, though, right?
Yours, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got it.
But the A&M one is very interesting with the fresh, true freshman, Connor Wegman, and Max Johnson, the transfer from LSU. I think Wegman might win it.
Yeah, I think I don't understand Max Johnson.
He had a really good year. They were just not good.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. I don't know about that.
And then there's Haynes King.
Yeah, Haynes King.
Yeah.
What's up with him?
I don't know. I wish I did.
Storyline number two, the battle between Jimbo and Saban. Obviously, Luke Fickell joined us earlier. He didn't really quite know what the gag order meant. Neither did I. I have no idea what the heck that meant. But Jimbo versus Saban, that's going to be one of the main storylines heading into the season. That's going to be one of the main storylines in Media Day. That's going to be one of the main storylines in October. That's going to be one of the main storylines as long as Nick Saban's coaching, as long as Jimbo Fisher's coaching at Texas A&M.
CBS today already put out what we all knew. They went ahead and said, yeah, let's go ahead and just put that out there. Alabama A&M October 8th. Is going to be a CBS game. They already said, let's just go ahead and start hyping that up. It's going to be glorious.
Yeah, no doubt. Never a doubt about that. Storyline number three, Alabama, and this might draw some interest of Texas fans. Alabama, they lost a lot of pieces, a couple of them to the Texans, but they have two of the top players in the country in Will Anderson, the defensive lineman, and Bryce Young. So Alabama, they're always a prominent player when it comes to the top of the landscape of college football. But if you're a Texans fan now and you're wondering about the quarterback position, or you're wondering, you know, if they're going to be drafting up high, Alabama is going to be a team to watch, whether they're on offense, whether they're on defense.
Alabama isn't going anywhere. You can talk about Georgia. You can talk about A&M's recruiting class. Come on. Yeah. You know, Luke Fickell was sitting right across from us and we didn't have a single five-star on campus. They could have lent them some.
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama could have lent Cincinnati some and still had plenty left over for themselves.
Final storyline, a regional interest. And now I think it's interesting because I think it actually adds intrigue. I don't want to call it a blind spot, but Pac-12 football, it's kind of been, I don't want to call it irrelevant, but it's just been, it's been in an interesting place right now. But Lincoln Riley going from Oklahoma in the manner in which he did to USC and bringing in the talent that he brought in, I mean, my goodness, USC is going to be one of those must watches now. And I think Lincoln Riley is an absolute turd and a slime ball. I think that he's a cross between Marty, Jonah, and the dad, the alcoholic dad, and he's not an alcoholic. I just think he's two-faced like the dad in Ozark. I think Lincoln Riley's like a mix of all three of those. But I think USC is going to be good very, very soon and very, very quick. I could see them being in like the college football playoff discussion very, very soon, sooner rather than
really?
Later. Yes.
I don't know about that. But I am very, very intrigued. USC getting Lincoln Riley and all these recruits, it just makes it better. I mean, it's like
great.
Texas or
– got to have USC good.
Yeah,
gotta
or any USC of those. Good. Notre Dame.
Fight on.
Yeah.
Astros win yesterday 7-3. Framber Valdez, 7 innings, 3 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, no walks. Here's Dusty Baker talking about Framber Valdez doing his thing yesterday on the bump for 7 strong.
Feeling that his endurance is up. You know, a couple outings there. Not controlling this breaking ball, but he was, much better tonight. Throws like that every time out, he'll win a lot of ball games.
All right, there you go. As for Jacob Odorizzi, he met with the media yesterday. Here is the man who was carted off about a week ago to the day, talking about the progress he's made up to this point and when we could see him on the bump again.
If I felt pain less, I think I'd be in a better spot right now. I'd be facing hitters in a rehab assignment, so we're building up. I was able to throw a normal bullpen today. I've been able to throw all but 3 days of this, so a good day today and promising to see me throw and that sort of thing, but realistically, we still don't know. Just kind of take it, this looked good. It could be soon, it could be longer than that. It's just, regardless of what the time frame is, there will be a time instead of the opposite of what it could have been.
What a weird situation.
I know, Figgy. It's like good or bad. Okay.
He's thrown all but 3 days.
The fact that he's throwing is good. The fact that he still has pain?
Man, he might be being dramatic on that. We're talking about a guy who got carted
off. Oh, I hadn't thought of that. Maybe it's really like he's trying to be a warrior.
Yeah. By the way, John Lopez, one of your degenerate bets is still alive. The Mavs survived barely.
I want to lose it.
Down 0-3. They won yesterday against – we'll see if you're saying that if they win tomorrow. they win 119-109. They actually had a 29-point lead in the 4, trimmed to 8 with over 3 minutes left. But the Mavs survive tonight. Game 5, Miami versus Boston in the 305 at 7:30 on ESPN. We'll see what the injury report looks like there because it's been pretty heavy.
At least we had a semblance of a decent game. That's all. I mean, it wasn't even that close, but it was close somewhat.
Coming up, the weirdest thing that the Deshaun Watson camp has done. It happened last night. It happened at the last minute. And it has me asking a lot of questions, least of which is, what the hell was that next?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.